1 Thessalonians 3, beginning in verse 6 and going through verse 10. These are God's words. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God? Night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So, Paul and Silas had sent Timothy to the Thessalonians, and Timothy had reminded them that the afflictions are exactly as the Lord had told them and the apostle had told them when he had come and preached, and Timothy found that they were standing fast. And of course, just like their coming to faith was a gift from God, so also their standing in faith was something that the Lord was giving them. So he finishes verse 8 by saying, "You stand fast in the Lord." Timothy had come back and said, "I have good news. They are clinging to their faith. They're still full of love to God and to one another. And even to us, they greatly desire to see us and remember us fondly." And you see all of that in verse 6. And it is, of course, just as Paul and Silas and Timothy, although Timothy had been there, greatly desired to see them, as we'll hear about praying their prayer to that effect in the last part. So this interaction between Paul and the Thessalonians is over the good news and him telling them how much he's encouraged by the good news. But it's not just interaction between him and the Thessalonians. The main point is that all of this is in the Lord. In all of their afflictions, verse 7, and distress, they were not suffering primarily because of the persecution that they were receiving, but their greatest affliction, their greatest trouble was whether or not the Thessalonian believers were continuing to hold to the faith. This is something that he says in another place, where he talks about all of the things that have happened to him, the number of times he was stoned, beaten with rods, and shipwrecked, and adrift in the sea. And then he says, but above all of those things, he was distressed over the condition of the churches, the troubles of the churches. And if someone is made to stumble, that is the greatest pain he has. So the Lord comforted him by keeping the Thessalonians even in the midst of their afflictions, verse 3. And not only was he comforted concerning their faith, verse 7, now he feels fully alive. Now we live if you stand fast in the Lord, is saying that not knowing if they might be buckling under the pressure, felt like they were dying. But when Timothy came back with the news that they were doing well spiritually, that feeling like they were dying went away and they came alive. How we should grieve for those who are perishing, and agonize over those who are doing poorly spiritually, and how we should rejoice and as if coming back to life again when we hear that people are doing well and we hear about the Lord's gracious work in them. This should be One of our desires on the Lord's Day, when we gather again as a church, for instance, that we would hear how the Lord is making others to remain faithful and to be fruitful and to grow, and that we would give them that same joy in reporting the good that the Lord has done for us and in us. So that's the first part, is life in the Lord. The second part is thanks and rejoicing unto the Lord. Verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God? And so he said, we're not just comforted and full of life, but we're so full of joy when we come before God, when we have our private prayer times, and when I and Silas and Timothy gather together for prayer and gather the three of us before God, and maybe the entire Corinthian church, I think this was written from Corinth, are gathered before God. One of the things we are doing is rejoicing over what we've heard about his work among the Thessalonians and in the Thessalonian believers. And there's all this rejoicing, and the only thing that bothers him now is he has no way to repay the Lord. And he says, for what thanks can we render to God for you? So great is the joy that he has, not just in his heart, but when he comes before that same Lord who has done these things. So when we receive good news about the work of God in other believers, we're not just supposed to be glad in our hearts, but we're supposed to take that good news before the Lord in our times of worship, even now. We should be rejoicing over the good that God has done in and for other believers. So there's that life in the Lord, and then there's that thanks and rejoicing unto the Lord or before the Lord, and then there's asking him for more. The third part of this, the way this interaction between Paul and the Thessalonians is really an interaction with God himself. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your face. Perhaps a gentle but wise church member in a church that quit gathering or started masking during COVID could just shoot that first part of verse 10. Why? So that we may perfect what is lacking in your faith. This has given us such joy. This is what we live for, to be useful by God and other people's in other people's growth in Christ, and the filling out of their faith with knowledge and love and holiness and understanding and wisdom and all those things. We live for that. We look to God for that. We rejoice when we hear about it. And therefore, we ask God for more of it. This is what a believer does, by the way, when he says, what thanks can I render to God? And we remind ourselves that we could never repay God back. So the believer realizes that God has all goodness in him, and that the way our relationship works is, yes, we live unto him with all that we are. That's what they wanted to do, to go serve, but it's God who must give even that. And so as we rejoice before him, it encourages us to ask for more of that goodness that made us rejoice. And so he doesn't say, we realized that you guys are doing fine without us, and we could rejoice over you here, and we don't really need to go over there and see you and gather. No, he said, now we're praying night and day exceedingly that we may see your face. It spurs us on to more asking of God for good, and especially the good that we may serve him. And so let us learn from this to think about our interactions with our congregation and with other believers for whom we pray and to whom we may have a chance to minister, to have our interaction primarily with the Lord, to be comforted and to feel like we are really living when we hear about good things that God is doing in others. And then to take that rejoicing before God himself in our times with him, and then to turn that rejoicing over into prayer that he would do more, over which we may then again rejoice. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for the good that you have done in so many that gladdens our hearts before you. We thank you especially today on her birthday for Miss D and your great grace in her and your great grace and mercy to us through her. We pray, O Lord, that you would be the strength of her heart and her portion forever. And yet we do pray that for some time yet her flesh and her heart would not fail, and you would spare her to us yet for many more years. Thank you, O God, for the grace of the past year. And now give her a new year of your great and merciful working. We bless your name for your marvelous work in Christian and Phoebe's family, and in the way that you have not only brought Sydney, but now are sustaining Phoebe. We pray that that would continue, Lord, and that you would give us opportunity to minister to them. We thank you, Lord, for giving us so many people, even in our local congregation, for whom or in behalf of whom we can rejoice before you for the good that you've done in them. We pray, Lord, that you would be working in us and that you would enable others to be able to rejoice over what they see you do in each of our lives and in our family's life. Help us to have our great and primary interaction with you so that this governs the way we think about and interact with and respond to others. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.